ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् दि सेकेण्ड् वर्स् इन् दि साधना पञ्चकम् स्टेप् 16. इन् अवर् लास्ट् क्लास् वी हेड् बीन् डिस्कसिङ्ग् वाट् शुड् An ordinary Shishya ask of the Guru, show me the way, show me how I can do sadhana, what is sadhana and how to reach the goal. Of course, you would be praying also for grace, etc. But that is an ordinary intelligent person. Here is one extraordinarily intelligent person. He says, as we discussed in our last class, so many stories, I do not want anything. I want you to come, take my hand and take me along with you. I want to be with you all the time. Never again leave my hand. This is the most intelligent person's exhibition of his true wisdom. And that is what is called, truly speaking, Sharanagati means what? I know nothing, I am nothing, you are everything, please take care of me. That's what we had been discussing. Then step 16, Shruti Shirovakyam Samakarnyatam. Shruti means scripture. Vakyam means teaching. Shirovakyam means the most important teaching of any particular scripture. And there are so many scriptures are there. But it doesn't mean that every scripture is teaching completely different teaching. No. Every scripture are one in this regard. They all say God exists. There is a state which is the most desirable, not even the most desirable, but the only desirable state, which is to become God. We have to be in the presence of God. We have to be always with God. Of course, if we reason it out, we can understand God is knowledge, so you cannot remain as ignorance in the presence of God. If when we become knowledge, true knowledge, then there is no difference between knowledge of God, knowledge of ourselves. That means we are God, God is us, to speak in human terminology. There is no I or you or we, ever whatever is only one. That is the most important teaching of the scripture. Shirovakyam. Siraha means the essence. It is the most important teaching of any particular scripture. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna is always emphasizing. I want only pure devotion. Pure devotion means pure knowledge. And pure knowledge means only that I want you and nothing else. We can perhaps give an example. I want to be always near a blazing fire. And if I sit so near to the blazing fire, near means become one with the blazing fire. What do I become? I also become nothing but pure fire. So this is how we have to understand. Even if a devotee says, I do not wish to become sugar, I want to become sugar. Really speaking, once he tastes God, then he can never be away from God. So this is called Shirovakya, means the most important teaching of any scripture is God exists. He is the most desirable one in the whole world and you cannot desire anything else. And when you desire him, only him, then you will become him and then there would be no difference. That is how the difference between bhakti and jnana have to be completely removed. So, we have come to the end of the second shloka and I have quoted so many stories. Ultimately, these devotees of Sri Ramakrishna like Rashik are the most brilliant examples. They were most intelligent people, even more intelligent than people who say, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. We will proceed to the third one. Vakyarthascha vicharyatam, Shruti sirah pakshah samashriyatam, ದುಸ್ತರ್ಕಾತ್ ಸುವಿರಮ್ಯತಾಂ ಶ್ರುತಿಮತಃ ತರ್ಕಃ ಅನುಸಂಧೀಯತಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ಮೀತಿ ವಿಭಾವ್ಯತಾಂ ಅಹರಹಃ ಗರ್ವಃ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ್ಯತಾಂ ದೇಹೇ ಅಹಂ ಮತಿಃ ಉಜ್ಯತಾಂ ಬುಧಜನೈಃ ವಾದಃ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ್ಯತಾಂ ರಿಫ್ಲೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ದಿ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷದಿಕ್ ಕಮ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟೇಕ್ ರಿಫ್ಯೂಜ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಅವಾಯ್ಡ್ ಪರ್ವರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ಗ್ಯುಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ಫಾಲೋ ದಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಮಿನೇಟಿವ್ ರೇಷನಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಬಿ ಅಬ್ಸಾರ್ಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಆಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ರಿನೌನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೈಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ದಿ ಡಿಲ್ಯೂಸರಿ ಮಿಸ್ಕಾನ್ಸೆಪ್ಷನ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ಟೋಟಲ್ಲಿ ದಿ ಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸಿ ಟು ಆರ್ಗ್ಯೂ ವಿತ್ ವೈಸ್ ಮೆನ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ನೌ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಸ್ಲೈಟ್ಲಿ ಮೋರ್ ಡಿಟೇಲ್ ದಿ 8 ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ವಾಲ್ವ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಒನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ರಿಕಲೆಕ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ವರ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ 5 ವರ್ಸಸ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪಂಚಕಂ ಎವ್ರಿ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ 8 ಕಮ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ದಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಯೂಸಸ್ ದಿ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಇಂಪರೇಟಿವ್ ಮೋಡ್ ಇಂಪರೇಟಿವ್ ಮೋಡ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕಮ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಟ್ ಪರಿಸಮಾಶ್ರಯತಾಂ ವಿಚಾರ್ಯತಾಂ ವಿರಮ್ಯತಾಂ ಅನುಸಂಧೀಯತಾಂ ವಿಭಾವ್ಯತಾಂ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ್ಯತಾಂ ಉಜ್ಯತಾಂ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ್ಯತಾಂ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಕಮ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ 17 ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಾಕ್ಯಾರ್ಥಶ್ಚ ವಿಚಾರ್ಯತಾಂ ವಾಕ್ಯ ಅರ್ಥ ಅರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಡಿಡ್ ವಿ ಸೇ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಶಿರೋ ವಾಕ್ಯಂ ಸಮಾಕನ್ಯತಾಂ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಸ್ಕ್ವೀಸ್ ಔಟ್ ದಿ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಶ್ರುತೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಟೂ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಎನಿ ಚಾಯ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ವುಡ್ ಬಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಕಮ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ದೇರ್ ವುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ದಿಸ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ದಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಡೂ ದಿಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡೂ ನಾಟ್ ಡೂ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ನೌ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ಇಂಟಲೆಕ್ಚುಯಲಿ ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ devotion for God as a means to become one with God. What is the teaching? Become one with God. Realize God. Surrender to God. These are all meaning the same things. Become completely one with God. Destroy any amount of difference that exists between you and God. Now, how to do it? Vakyarthascha vicharyatam. Reflect. How much time? All the time. Upon the Upanishadic commandments, constantly reflect upon the meaning of the Upanishadic commandments. Usually what we do is, we are saying all the time, albeit unconsciously, I want only God. How do we understand this statement? Most of the people, even the believers in God, they don't want God. They don't want to become one with God. They want to get advantages from God. They want to get boons from God. They want to use God for their worldly happiness. But if we analyze, what does man want? Only three things. Asato maha sadgamaya. Lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from this temporary existence to permanent existence. Tamaso maha jyotirgamaya. Lead me from ignorance to knowledge, illumination. That is to say, let me understand that I am the eternal, I am the unborn, I am of the nature of truth, knowledge and infinity. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Then, that is what he says, Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amrutangamaya. I never want to suffer. Here, mrityu means not ordinary death, but ignorance. Ignorance, in its turn, inevitably brings suffering. So, I want to become sat, I want to become chit, I want to become ananda. The Shruti goes further and says, if you are not these three, you are never ever going to become. But if you are these three, but temporarily seem to have forgotten, then you remove that temporary forgetfulness and you will only get what you are. That is the goal of life. We are not to attain to God. We are not to know God. We are not to become God. We are not to reach God. But just to know, I am already potentially divine. Manifest this divinity. You don't manifest by bringing it from somewhere. You destroy the curtain, the obstacle, the ignorance, and automatically what is in front will be revealed to you. So, vakyarthasya vicharyatam. Earlier, I told you there are predominantly two paths, the path of knowledge and the path of bhakti. We have been dwelling upon the path of bhakti. Sri Ramakrishna explains why bhakti is more important, more suitable than even the path of knowledge. Here, this is a teaching of Shankaracharya. He was, of course, a follower of knowledge. So, according to him, approach Sadguru, hear from him both the truth, Shirovakya, and sadhana, Shravana. And afterwards, you go on thinking deeply until the last remaining bit of doubt is totally removed. And then this is called manana. And afterwards, you practice what the Guru told you, Tattvamasi, and realize the final truth, Aham Brahmasmi Vicharyatam. This is the pathway of the person of knowledge, treading the path of knowledge, Jnani. So, reflect always the Upanishadic commandments, constantly reflect upon the meaning of the Upanishadic commandments. First of all, reflect, and secondly, constantly, thirdly, with Shraddha, fourthly, with the intense longing for the realization of this truth, only truth. As I mentioned earlier, that for us, it is the path of bhakti. And bhakti and jnana are two paths. This is the constant refrain of Sri Ramakrishna. As many understandings, faiths, so many paths. Jato mat tato path. Then, what about bhakta's way? What about Swami Vivekananda's way? In our last class, we have discussed Swami Vivekananda spoke nothing but the important teachings of the Upanishads. He declared, I spoke nothing but the Upanishads. And that is absolutely true, but he put it in a language understandable by each one of us in a very simple English language. Even today, we find it very difficult to find anybody who could put the highest truth in such simple words as Swami Vivekananda. And he gave four commandments. I hope you remember them. Each soul is potential, etc. Please remember it. Then, what is the best way according to Sri Ramakrishna and why? So, here we go. Sri Ramakrishna declares, the path of knowledge is extremely difficult. One cannot obtain jnana if one has the least trace of worldliness and the slightest attachment to lust and gold. This is not the path for the Kali Yuga. We have to understand, every single sentence that comes from Sri Ramakrishna is a commandment. So he says, the path of knowledge is extremely difficult. Why? He will explain why. This is not the path for the Kali Yuga. What is Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga is where people are too much attached to the body. I am the body, I am the mind, I am a slave to body and mind. And when and so long we have this identity, complete identity with the body and mind, the path of bhakti and the path of self-surrender is exactly the same. So, if there is egotism, that is to say, I am the body, mind means I am not God, I am separate from God, I am separate in fact from everything in this world. Not only that, surprisingly, I am separate even from my own self, what I was 1 second back. My body has changed. 1 second back, I was totally attached to my body. That body is gone now. My mind also is changing according to the change in the body, in the world, in our way of thinking, because of certain events and experiences that take place. So, even though I am telling I am the body-mind, sir, Which body mind are you referring? The body mind last year when you were a baby or just now? There is no present actually. I have mentioned this fact earlier, but I am going to tell you again just to remind both me and yourself. There is nothing called present. Present tense is an illusion. Can I explain it? Yes. Suppose you are 3 feet away from me. I am looking at you. By that time, my mind has gone out through the eye and found you the object and took a photograph of you and came back and presented itself to the buddhi. 1 billionth of a second has already passed. So what I am thinking now is what was really 1 billionth of a second before what was. In case you have not understood, I'll give you another example. In our universe, there are so many stars, and some of the stars are, really speaking, billions and billions of years, light years away. And the light from those stars, which is stars, billions and billions of years away, they were born billions and billions and billions of years away, they were dead billions and billions of years away, and the light started traveling, and according to astronomers, that light has not even reached so that our ordinary eyes can perceive. Suppose after a billion years, the first sending of those lights come within the purview of human beings' power of perception. By that time, billions and billions of years back, those stars were dead. But we do not perceive them as dead because we are seeing the light just then. Now you reflect over what we have just discussed. So even if some object is 1 second away, even our own body, by the time we notice the change, already some amount, the tiniest possible calculated time is passed. That's why I issued that statement. Nothing exists except in the past. It's only memory. But because the perception deceives us, telling that it is the present. That's why we say it is the present. So what is the conclusion? What are we talking about? The present doesn't exist. And as soon as you accept that statement, the past also doesn't exist. The future also doesn't exist. Future is gone. Past is gone. Future has not yet arrived. And so present doesn't exist. Therefore, the present, every present, is a precious gift. Accept it. So, I hope you understand what we are talking about. Anyway, coming back to our subject, that for this Kali Yuga, Sri Ramakrishna conclusively tells, and let us remember, who is Sri Ramakrishna? According to most of us, he is an incarnation of God. He is God. So, who is the creator of the Vedas? God. And God created the Vedas. How do we know? Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, he says, he is the Vedakarta and he is also the Vedavit. He knows the real Veda and in its complete meaning, we only know a little bit as interpreted by our earlier rishis, munis, teachers, saints, sages, realized souls, jivan muktas, etc. So, Sri Ramakrishna is trying to explain to us the path of devotion most elective for Kali Yuga. Why did I bring this subject? Because whatever comes out from the mouth of God is called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavat Mukhat Nishruta Vani Gita. Bhagavad Gita. So this, that is called Veda and that is called Vachana Veda. Sri Ramakrishna Vachana Veda. The same Rama, the same Krishna. Now he is issuing the statements. That means they are our commandments. Not only, this is the highest truth. Veda means highest truth, only truth, not part of some truth, but the only truth. So, Karma Yoga, Sri Ramakrishna says, is very hard indeed. In the Kali Yuga, it is extremely difficult to perform the rites enjoined in the scriptures. Nowadays, man's life is centered on food alone. He cannot perform many scriptural rites. Suppose a man is laid up with fever. If you attempt a slow cure with the old-fashioned indigenous remedies, preferably Ayurveda, Before long, his life may be snuffed out. He can't stand much delay. Nowadays, the drastic D. Gupta mixture is appropriate. What is this D. Gupta mixture? In the Kali Yuga, the best way is Bhakti Yoga. This is called, according to Sri Ramakrishna, D. Gupta mixture. You can swallow it. The path of devotion, singing the praises of the Lord and prayer, wholehearted prayer. The path of devotion alone is the religion for this age. Path of devotion for Kali Yuga. Now, let us keep one thing in mind. Does it mean to say that Sri Ramakrishna says, Jnana Marga has no place in Kali Yuga? He says, he never said that. Because he himself practiced this Jnana Yoga under the tutelage of Tathapuri Maharaj. Because sannyasa means, usually we understand sannyasa only Advaita Vedanta Marga, Maha Vakya Shruti. But we forget conveniently, there are Dvaita Sannyasins, Visishta Dvaita Sannyasins, Bhakta Sannyasins, Ramayat Sadhus, Krishnayat Sadhus, Udasina Sadhus, so many Sadhus are there. One of the greatest of such persons is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took sannyasa according to Dashanami Sampradaya as propagated by Shankaracharya. But he preached nothing but the names and singing and glories and the greatness of Nama Mahatmya. Sri Ramakrishna continued that tradition. We have to understand that. So, there may be very few. For example, there is this Swami Vivekananda. He was a amsha, a part of one of the seven rishis. Only Sri Ramakrishna had brought his mind down so that he can do good to some of us. There may be a few people like Ramana Maharshi. Sri Ramakrishna never denies the path of karma, Raja Yoga are also equally valid. Following Sri Krishna's teachings that all are following my path, everyone is coming to me. I also help them exactly in the same way. So here is Sri Ramakrishna's say, the teachings of the Vedas are different. According to the Vedas, none but a Brahmin can be liberated. Further, the worship is not accepted by the gods unless the mantras are recited correctly. One must perform sacrifice, that is yajna, yaga, etc., so on, according to scriptural injunction. But where is the time in the Kali Yuga to perform the Vedic rituals? It is said in the Vedas, there is a beautiful story. Somebody did tapasya to kill Indra. And while doing this yaga, he misspelled one syllable. So in Sanskrit, it is peculiar. Mixer is there. If you divide the samasa, the combination of words, in the wrong way, it will give just the opposite meaning. So this priest, he had mispronounced it saying, instead of saying, let my son be the destroyer of Indra, the meaning came to, let Indra destroy my son. And accordingly, the Vedic words cannot go wrong. And his son was born and he fought with Indra and Indra promptly killed him. And then the father came to know that instead of saying, let my son destroy Indra, the priest uttered, let Indra destroy my son. Let my son be destroyed by Indra. Of course, there is a little bit of exaggeration here. God understands the intention, but what we want will not come true. Only what God wants, that is what it comes. But what is meant is, if the mantras have to be proved effective and give the appropriate result, they have to be performed in the exact right manner. In order to prove it, Sri Ramakrishna's own life bears a beautiful example. While practicing tantric sadhana, whenever he used to utter the Bija Mantra Ram, which is the manifestation of fire, Agni Mantra, a wall of fire used to come to protect him from malevolent elements, thereby proving everything in the scriptures is absolute truth. But Sri Ramakrishna says, therefore, in the Kali Yuga, the path of devotion, but as prescribed by Narada is best. The path of karma is very difficult. Karma becomes a cause of bondage unless it is performed in a spirit of detachment. There is a beautiful example Sri Ramakrishna gives us. There was a man and he came across a helpless woman who was either being tortured or nobody is there to look after. So he took pity. He thought he was doing karma yoga. He was convinced and he did good to that woman. Naturally, that woman was very grateful. She used to look upon him as God himself. Slowly, whenever he comes, she will show all her affection and love. And in course of time, this man, bit by bit, he was attracted to that lady. And in the end, he fell down and he came and confessed to Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna warned him. Of course, if Sri Ramakrishna says you are forgiven, he would be forgiven. This is what Sri Ramakrishna used to caution one of his very so-called intimate devotees, Sadhu Savadhan. So, karma yoga is very difficult. Why? There is no detachment. Why there is no detachment? Because the mind is not pure. Somehow this attachment creeps in because Mahamaya comes in the form of attachment. Another name for attachment is egotism. Karma becomes, Sri Ramakrishna continues, a cause of bondage unless it is performed in a spirit of detachment. Further, Sri Ramakrishna says, why Jnana Marga is difficult, Karma Marga is difficult. The life of man nowadays depends on food. Sri Ramakrishna's famous saying in Bengali language, Kali Kale Manush Annagata Pran. That means his man's whole identity is fixed upon food. Food means here body. Body is food. Food is body. Body is born out of food and it is sustained by food and ultimately it becomes food to worms or tiger or viruses, whatever it is. The path of karma is not the right one for the Kali Yuga. Bhakti Yoga is the right path. Do your duties in the world. As long as you need them to reap the fruit of the actions of your past lives. But here, every word is important. Do your duties in the world only so long as you need them to do. But you must develop love for God and be passionately attached to Him. The singing of the name and glories of God destroys the effect of past action. That means, what Sri Ramakrishna is telling, if somebody sincerely believes and sings and meditates and prays to God, then all the effects of his past karma. Effects of past karma can be divided into two parts, raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion. And this devotion to God destroys raga and dvesha to the world and develops only raga towards God, and thereby he becomes blessed. And then Ramakrishna says, the way of love is as true as the way of knowledge. All paths, no doubt, ultimately lead to the same truth. As long as God keeps the feeling of ego in us, it is easier to follow the path of love. Here is a beautiful Mahavakya. What is our problem? What is the enemy of God? That is called avidya. What is the crux of avidya? Egotism. What is egotism? I am the body and mind. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna says, as long as God keeps the feeling of ego in us, it is easier to follow the path of love. It is difficult to follow the path of knowledge. And this is what in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna, in the form of Sri Krishna, tells Bhakti Yoga that Arjuna puts a question at the beginning of the 12th chapter, which is better, the path of knowledge or the path of devotion? Categorically, he says, for the man who has got identity, Dehatma Bhava, it is extremely difficult for him, Klesho Adhikatarastesham, Avyakta Sakta Chetasam, Avyaktahi Gatir Dukham, Dehavadbhihi Avapyate. Dehavadbhihi means one who says, Dehavat, I am a Dehavan. I am the body and I have a body. Where there is I, there would be my. Where there is my, there would be I. When a person says, I am the body, all the attachments, house, wife, husband, children, parents, relatives, friends, country, language, religion, patriotism, everything follows that single I. The goal is somehow to convert that I, offer that I, surrender that I to God. So, we have to take to some path. What is the path? Bhakti path. Bhakti means devotion. Even in the devotional path, it is the complete surrender, which is the culmination of all bhakti. That's what again and again we have been quoting the last shloka of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityajya. And that is what Ramanujacharya had beautifully explained, which we have seen in our past classes, that Anukulasya Sankalpaha Pratikulasya Varjanam Rakshishyasiti Vishwasaha Goptrutva Varanam Atmanikshepaha Karpanye Iti Shadvidha Sharanagati. If you want the explanation of this, just Google. Google is the great mother Saraswati nowadays. Mostly it gives the correct information. There are many, many wonderful people who are uploading all these scriptural statements. Simply you put Anukulasya Sankalpaha. Everything will come with explanation, with the original shlokas, which you can copy and download. So, Sri Ramakrishna is explaining, one cannot obtain knowledge unless one gets rid of the feeling that one is the body. In the Kali Yuga, the life of man is centered on food. He cannot get rid of the feeling that he is the body and the ego. He identifies body and ego as one. If only by God's grace, we can say that I am not the body, but I have a body. That makes a lot of progress in spiritual life. The problem is, I am the body. Therefore, the path of bhakti is prescribed. And in this devotional path also, the path as explained by Narada. And in that connection, we have been talking about whatever we have learned from the scripture. And I mentioned our scripture is Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda and Holy Mother. I have already explained the four commandments of Swami Vivekananda. Each soul is potentially divine. Then, what about Holy Mother's five commandments? If you wish, you can also refer to this. This explanation is available on our website, Sharada Devi website. And there we see a simple explanation. First, if you wish peace of mind, stop finding fault with others. First commandment, if you wish peace of mind. Of course, if you do not wish, you do not need to follow it up. That is the first commandment. Obtain peace and you desire peace. That is called mumukshutvam in Viveka Chudamani's or Gnani's terminology. Then first commandment, sadhana, stop finding fault with others. This is the most marvelous teaching. Do not find fault. I'll give you a small contemporary example. China is threatening India and all our devotees get high blood pressure by even hearing the news about it. But is it China's fault? Why is it able to do it? Because you have become weak. Why have you become weak? Because you have never learned how to develop patriotism, how to cooperate with everybody, how you are always quarreling with each other, and you never learned how to unite. And Swami Vivekananda died regretting terribly that I seem to have been a failure. I could not unite even my own brother disciples. My disciples also betrayed me. It is a tragic story from the beginning to the end. One way, he was the Acharyanam Mahacharyo. He was the greatest Jagadguru in the world. On the other hand, dark moods had come upon Swami Vivekananda. He used to vent it out. I am a terrible failure. I am a failure. I could not achieve anything. Nobody cooperated with me. It was a very sad feeling. He became despondent, became depressed, developed mental problem. Do not take it from a psychological point of view. But very soon he cheered up because he said, "Oh mother, it's all your will. Since the topic of China came, I have to accept it. I only have to remind you." Swami Vivekananda went to Kshir Bhavani and he felt terrible ignorance. He said, "If only I had been there, I would have protected mother from all these vandals." And then suddenly he heard mother's thundering voice, "Is it you who has to protect me, or is it I who am protecting and will protect you? What is the meaning? It is by my will that these Muslims have become vandals. What does it mean? Because you Hindus, it is your karma phala. You never developed any selflessness. You are an embodiment and what is called a very zipped file of pure selfishness. And you never did, even by mistake, to do a little good to anybody else excepting yourself. First of all, Swami Vivekananda says, you have kept all your scriptures away. You have become like a frog in the well. And this life-giving principles of religion, you have hidden from the people who needed it most. And then you started misinterpreting all these Brahmins. They should be shot dead over and over again. And if all the priesthood has been removed, then only there is salvation for India. Sorry for my outburst, but this is my statement is purely based upon Swami Vivekananda's statements. That's why he said, "I am the idol breaker. I will break these walls which Hindus have erected and became kopastha mandukas, frogs in the well, neither going out and learning nor allowing others to come." Says the law of the world is to give and to take, and whoever violates it will die violently. So even today there is wonderful chance. Indians have got tremendous strength. They have got strength of body, they got strength of brain, aesthetic, highest developed aesthetic sense, highest dharma. Religion is the backbone of India, but they lack one thing. They never cooperate with each other. Every organization in India is a damn failure because of this non-cooperation. That's why my Gurudeva, revered Yatishan Maharaj, used to tell that there are so many great people and they are all one-man shows. As soon as that man passes away, everything falls to pieces. And if you study the life of Swami Vivekananda, especially in UK and USA, he says, "I had wonderful chance, hundreds used to come to me, but I know the moment I come away from there, the whole fabric will just tear itself up and fall down." And that's what happened both in UK as well in USA. What is the secret? Let us reduce our selfishness. Let us learn, even if it is difficult, to cooperate with each other for the betterment of both ourselves as well as the world. That's why Swami Vivekananda's motto in establishing the Ramakrishna order was Atmano Mokshartham Jagat Hita. It should never be forgotten. Coming back, stop finding fault with others. That is the second commandment, sadhana. Third commandment, start finding fault with yourself and then slowly get rid of them and develop positive spiritual characteristics. Third commandment says, "My child, no one is a stranger." And the last commandment, fifth commandment, make the whole world your own. Try to realize the whole world is nothing but a manifestation of Ishvara. All these five commandments are the simple reformulation of the first mantra of the Ishavasya Upanishad. Ishavasya medagum sarvam etkim cha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjaitha magridaha kasya siddhanam. These are the five commandments of Holy Mother. What about the five commandments of Sri Ramakrishna? I have given many talks on that, but briefly they are there. First, sing the name and glories of God and realize God. And sadhana, cultivate holy company, bhakti yoga. Now and then go into solitude and call upon God more intensely. This is called Raja Yoga. Always discriminate. Everything is ephemeral, temporary. God alone is permanent. that is called Jnana Yoga, and live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. This is called Karma Yoga. All the five commandments of Sri Ramakrishna, five commandments of Holy Mother, you please find out on our website. I also quoted Ramana Maharshi. Wherever he goes, he squeezed out the essence of the Upanishads and says, what does the Upanishad say? That find out you are. And if you find out who you are, then the ultimate truth, Tattvamasi. Who you are? Aham Brahmasmi. So these are our commandments, our sadhana, according to the Bhakti Yoga. So step 18, Shruti Shirah Pakshaha Samashriyatam. Take refuge in the truth of God or Brahman. That is to say, find out the most important teaching of the scripture. Now, take notice, I did not say important teachings of the scripture. I said important teaching. There can be only one teaching. What is the teaching? In Jnana Yoga, Upanishads, it is called Mahavakya. In Bhakti Yoga, it is called take refuge in God, surrender completely in God. That is the only teaching. And here is this. When we say I, that is called egotism. And egotism is called bondage. When I say not I, but thou, this is called complete surrender. So complete surrender and egotism, they are diametrically opposite to each other. This is the most important teaching of any scripture. Shruti means scripture, Siraha means the most important, Pakshaha means its opinion or its main teaching, and find out what it is, and then what should be done? Samashriyatam, take refuge in it. That means you will do japa of that and you will always try to practice that one, practice the presence of God. That is what it means. I am taking a quotation from the Viveka Chudamani to reinforce what we discussed. In the verse number 8, Ato vimuktiyai prayateta vidvan sanyasya bahya artha sukha spruhaha san santam mahantam samupetya deshikam tena upadishta artha samahitatma. Therefore, a man of learning should strive his best for liberation. That is the Shirovakya. How? Having renounced his desires for pleasures from external objects. That means you have desire for inner object, which is God. How to do it? Duly approaching a good and great teacher, preceptor, and fixing your mind on the truth inculcated by him. This is the meaning of Shruti Shiraha Prakshaha Samashriyatam. What does Sri Ramakrishna say? The goal of human life is to love God. Bhakti is the one essential thing. To know God through jnana and reasoning is extremely difficult. I mentioned earlier, these are the not cajolations, requests, suggestions, but these are truths. Difficult in this particular age to tread the path of knowledge. What does Sri Ramakrishna say about the Shruti Siraha Pakshaha? He is born in vain, who having attained the human birth, so difficult to get, doesn't attempt to realize God in this very life. The goal of human life is to love God. Bhakti is the one essential thing. To know God through jnana and reasoning is extremely difficult. A true seeker should constantly take refuge in the attitude that I am the one self. But here, according to the Bhakta, I am your servant, etc. We will come to that point very soon. Dustarkat suviramyatam. Step 19. That is to say, this is the third step in the third sloka. What does it mean? Avoid perverse arguments. Du tarkat su viramyatam. Tarka means debate, argument, etc. There are good tarkas, good debates. There are also bad debates. There are many things, vada, tarka, jalpa. There are four varieties of debates are there. So what are all these things? Some people, they argue just for the sake of making noise, jalpa. Some tarka is called vitanda. Its only purpose is not to gain the truth, but to somehow shut the mouths of the opposites, persons. And Vitanda, that understand things in the wrong way, and even after being told again and again what is right, not to give up his own opinion. Why? Because I am an intelligent person. Do you think that I will change my words? I am not going to change. In fact, you have to change and follow what I am trying to tell you. This is called Dustarka. Avoid perverse argument. In the next step, whatever makes us understand the scripture properly, you have to argue in that way. Sri Ramakrishna's life, especially in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, beautiful quotations come, and the very first thing in the very first chapter of the Gospel, how Sri Ramakrishna is stopping useless type of debate or argument, and he asks him, promise me you will not argue. But we should understand, when Sri Ramakrishna says this, he is not talking that never argue. Always do arguments for two purposes. If somebody is there, he is an earnest seeker, but his understanding is not right, you will have to convince him through arguments. My friend, I think you have not understood properly. This is the right thing. Every teacher, in fact, employs this, what is called good argument, good reasoning to point out. On the other hand, if it is useless waste of time, stop it. There was an incident. Once Sri Ramakrishna himself incited two people to make an argument. And somebody else probably heard about Sri Ramakrishna's discouragement of arguing. He said, why all this useless? Sri Ramakrishna got annoyed and said, no, let it continue. The same Sri Ramakrishna who told something to somebody is telling something exactly opposite to somebody else. But here is the essence. Any argument that makes our mind disturbed, turns us away, takes us away from God far away, that has to be avoided like poison. And this is what also said in the Katha Upanishad, Naisha Tarkena Matira Apaneya. The Atman cannot be realized by a perverse mind. It can be only realized through intuition, through a purified mind. So this is what we are telling. But one more point, and we will discuss in the future classes, that in Indian philosophy, that is to say darshana, there is a cardinal rule. What is most primary? Is it the statements of the scriptures or reasoning? And conclusively, it is said, reasoning comes only secondary. The revelations of the scripture as primary. In fact, why it is so, the scripture tells us. Why? Because what the scripture tells us is none of our experience. Therefore, what we have never experienced is beyond our ken of understanding. And if that is so, to argue whether a life after death, there is life exists, or any other world other than what we know, or God exists, the soul exists, those things cannot be argued, because reasoning or argument is possible between two things which we experience. So that is why it is the Shruti Vakya. It is truth. You have to accept it. Guru Shastra Vakyesho Satya Buddhi Avadharana. But at the same time, to know or to understand them properly, you have to employ all the what is called good arguments, good way of reasoning, and otherwise you may not understand it properly. So let us keep these two points. When it comes to the revelation of the scriptures and debate or reasoning, reasoning takes second place. Only the statements of the scriptures come primary. But to understand correctly the teachings of the scriptures so that we can follow the right way, reasoning must be employed. Not need or anything, must be employed. So naturally the question comes, when can we get out of this reasoning? So long as we have not developed the power of intuition. So long, good reasoning according to the teachings of great souls is absolute necessity, unavoidable necessity. But once a person understands intuitively, as Swami Brahmanandaji says, Sri Ramakrishna says, the sadhaka's own mind becomes the guru. Guru is one who reasons out these statements of the scriptures in the right way, because he had practiced, he trod the path of that particular path, and he realized the truth. He knows that this is the right way of understanding. So once a person develops intuition, one's own mind becomes the infallible teacher. Thereafter, no external teacher is necessary. And this is how Sri Ramakrishna, in the first stage of his spiritual practice, never had any gurus, but purely through his own intuitive understanding has realized every truth, including Nirvikalpa Samadhi. We will discuss these beautiful points in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohur. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.